The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Girl, real talk. This whole it's new year, time to reinvent myself trash is not the vibe for 2024. You can find someone who loves you for you, as you are. You don't need to read a stack of self-help books, only eat sad salads, or like start meditating at 5 a.m. to be ready for dating. So yeah, my advice is to download Bumble and find someone who embraces you the way you are right now. Let me know how it goes.
Black Busters.
Ho, ho, ho. Hey, man, we're in the middle of December and we are celebrating Christmas all month, man. It's my favorite time of the year. And we got another banger. Yeah, we got another banger. And we are here today to discuss a film. But before I get there, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm Big Jai, your host, along with my co-host.
Five golden tones.
Five golden tones. Yes. Man. And before we get into this film, because we got some things to talk about, man. We are going to introduce our special guest.
Yes, sir.
My boy.
Yes, indeed.
My partner.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying? Funny man, hilarious comedian, Roger Blacksmith.
Yeah, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
Brother Wise.
Yeah.
Wise in his eyes.
Yes. Man, thank you for pulling up, bro.
Absolutely, man.
I told you before, like when I do certain movies, I try to get somebody that's not just the two hosts to come in, and that can be related to the film in some way. You're a comedian as well, stand-up comedian, hilarious brother. And we are doing a movie with one of the best comedians of all time.
Yes, indeed.
And
the GOAT.
It's Christmas time. That's why I got my Santa shirt and all that. Mm-hmm. And we are going to do the movie that just came out, Candy Cane Lane.
Candy Cane Lane.
Yes, starring
ho ho ho
ho ho ho. Starring Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah.
I also will say David Alan Greer.
Yeah.
Popped up in here, man.
Yeah.
Written by Kelly Younger and directed by no other than the legendary Reginald Hudlin.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was excited to watch this film, y'all. Of course, it got everybody that I would want to see. Eddie Murphy, of course. Anything he does, I want to check it out. You know what I'm saying? So, and directed by Reggie Hudlin, for sure. I got to be a part of that. This is a Christmas movie, all right? And Eddie Murphy is the lead in this movie. He's the father, Chris Carver. And his wife, played by Tracy Ellis Ross, is Carol Carver, right? Yeah. They're the Carvers, and they have three kids.
She's so good.
Yeah.
And everything Ellis, she does. She's so...
Who does she remind you of? What's her name? Baby girl from The Heat of the Night. Baby girl from I'm Gonna Get You Sucking.
Yeah, yeah. And from Anne-Marie Johnson.
Anne-Marie Johnson. There you go. That's who she reminds me of. Who's a beautiful woman, who could play very sophisticated, very classy, and also play very silly. You know what I'm saying?
She plays her well-adjusted black girl is perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Right? Like there's nobody else that works both black audiences and white audiences mm-hmm. as seamlessly uh-huh. as Tracee Ellis Ross does, right?
I agree.
Yeah. When she's interacting with white people, it's as natural. It's exactly how it looks in real life, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. But she does it in such a unique way because she never mortgages her black card, mm-hmm. right? Like, right. you know, she's okay. she's always a black woman, but it's obvious that, like, she's this... this like blade, she can mm-hmm. enter, she can go yeah, in and out of both yeah, worlds.
I see what you're saying.
Yin yang, seamlessly.
Yin yang. Yeah. She's very universal.
She does mm-hmm. it very, so well.
I feel like she I agree. She's who she is in every element. I believe every.
And
atmosphere.
She's so likable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
aspect,
like
yep.
like some actresses do that, and it's just like I never even want to fuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hillary Banks, right? Like you know, I never
yeah.
wanted to have a beer with Hillary Banks,
mm-hmm. right?
Like
right,
I never
right.
wanted to like be at a barbecue with Hillary Banks' people,
right?
Exactly. Right? Like you exactly. know, Tracee
I'm gonna have fun.
Hell yeah, that's gonna be a fun cue.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Tracee Ellis Ross's characters would be friends with Hillary Banks, but would try to translate for her. What she yeah. really means is this.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I know she could be this, but she really is a good person.
Yeah.
We could know her. She's that friend that yeah. would be friends with Hillary Banks.
Like, she's good enough to know what not to invite Hillary Banks to.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Right?
That makes uh-huh. sense.
Like, you like my cousin coming in town.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's going to be a little too black for Hillary.
Yeah, all yeah. Hillary's going to do is she's going to say the wrong thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. she ain't going to be here.
Right.
And so in this movie, I think... she's fantastic as the wife.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with those neighbors.
The neighbors, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The neighbors. So this movie starts off already like suburban, you know, mm-hmm. nice neighborhood.
El Segundo.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that the writer is probably from El Segundo.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Or somebody he knows. There's a reason why, because they mm-hmm. repped it
yeah.
enough for you.
They repped it hard.
They want you to know this is El Segundo.
This is El Segundo.
The city of El Segundo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Carvers live in this community where every year they compete for the best Christmas house,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
best Christmas ornaments, decorations, and everything like that. So, and he's good at it. He's so good that he makes things. He's a wood carver.
Yeah, it's yeah, a right? play on the fact that he's a carpenter. His last name being Carver.
Yeah,
yeah. Boom. I picked that out. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
see?
You know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm. told you, wisdom,
wisdom,
wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes like Christmas ornaments from scratch. Mm-hmm.
He's hand painting the candy canes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what lets you know
how important,
how committed he is to Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
So his kids are named after
the Christmas. Yeah,
yes.
Carol and Joy.
Yep. Yep. Carol's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is his daughter. Nick
mm-hmm.
is his son.
Yeah.
And Faith.
Yep.
No, Holly. I'm sorry. Holly Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, question. The youngest.
Before we get too far in our review / critique, do you have kids?
No, I don't.
No kids.
Not yet.
No kids. Okay.
Right.
So a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
I think our perspectives on this film are going to the fact that I do have kids,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Young kids, like 10 mm-hmm. and 7, like still believe in Santa kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
This 100% is affecting the prism in which I look at this movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what I extract
that
from
makes,
it.
That makes sense.
That will explain a lot.
That's a huge
sense.
Differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece is, do you live in the burbs?
No, I live in the city. Well, I guess it's kind of the burbs, yeah.
It's like, it's weird yeah. because we are comedians, but we didn't know each other until we moved
yeah.
right next door to
next
each other.
Each
so
other,
we yeah. asked our neighbors, this is a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we live like in the city, but our street is like suburban.
Yeah, it's yeah. weird, but you know that's some city shit will happen on the street.
Right,
you know?
Right. So. I live 100% in the burbs.
Okay.
Right?
Yes,
like,
do.
So this movie...
is your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. This movie is my neighborhood.
Okay.
I have kids.
Okay.
So as we discuss it.
It's real close to home.
This is my perspective.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So like if you don't have kids and you don't live in the burbs, like the interactions with the neighbors
mm-hmm.
and the box wine, it's that hilarious. Shit is real.
Okay.
That shit is real. That,
like it's those type of like forced relationships,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, yeah. we're walking down to the Carvers.
Hey, Tony, don't forget, man. Hurry up.
Come on through.
Got the good stuff.
We're doing pumpkin carving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, fuck, I gotta go pumpkin carve. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, and it's neighborly.
Mm-hmm.
So like So I understand what they're trying to do. And I let me just say, I understand the setting.
Yes.
I understand the setting. And there is a Christmas joy aspect that having kids puts very much present in my mind. So
when I watched this movie, I went in with the expectation that it was a family movie. Mm-hmm. I have a niece and nephew, and my sister got another one on the way. So like I'm watching it as if I'm at the movie theater with them.
I'm
keeping that in mind while I'm watching it.
Gotcha.
So because initially, for one, I'm very family oriented and Christmas is my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So I love family Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. I love Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thanksgiving movies and family stuff. But as I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, this is for kids and families with kids. Because, of course, it was so much going on in this movie.
Right. Yeah.
And it was long as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It was long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot going on.
Which is why Eddie is absolutely the wrong person to cast.
That's a good take.
That's why Tone has a hot take early.
Okay, so let me explain. It's going to take about 3 minutes, but let me explain it. You guys boxing fans?
Mm-hmm.
Boxing fans?
Extremely.
I love boxing.
Right.
Now, some people love boxing because they want to see knockouts. They want to see fights. They want to see brutality. Mm-hmm. They want a lot of action. Some people like boxing because they like the sweet science. They love to see the strategy and the technical. I'm in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
So Floyd Mayweather is one of my favorite fighters.
Okay.
Yes. Right? Now, when you watch a Floyd fight, you're watching a master work, you know, technically what he does. It's not a lot of action, not a lot of activity, but like I could watch 12 rounds of Floyd and be like, awesome.
It's like watching golf.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you love golf, I enjoy golf, so I can watch it all day.
Floyd is at the point in his career where he's doing these exhibitions, where he's fighting these guys that don't really have a chance, but I'm still tuning in because it's still Floyd. And I still want to see Floyd work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the off chance that something exciting might happen. Right. So that's why I keep watching. Eddie Murphy is in the Floyd exhibition point of his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's doing these movies that are like exhibitions for Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I'm keep tuning in because it's Eddie and I'm never going to miss Eddie.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of getting to the point where like, but he's not going to give me, I'm not getting my Eddie.
Yeah.
I'm getting,
you're not getting Eddie, prime Eddie. Yep.
But I'm getting exhibition Eddie. Who's not really trying to knock nobody out.
Right.
Who's not really trying to lay hands on nobody.
Right.
Who's not really working too hard to be funny.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so because of that, these last couple of movies, we keep showing up for Eddie wanting to give me some Eddie.
Give me something
to hold on to.
He didn't even do that once in this movie.
No.
Yeah. And that's why it's always going to knock the movie a bit because we're here for a version of Eddie thus far, I don't want to say doesn't exist, but isn't, you know, it's not paying off for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only am I watching a movie that's long, and four kids, but Eddie ain't even Eddie-ing. You know what I mean? Like,
he's,
you know,
not Eddie-ing. And this is my response.
That's my take. So that's why it's just like, if Eddie isn't in it, if you put Mike Epps in it, you know what I mean? Or anybody, the movie is gonna work.
Mike Epps is still Mike Epps.
Mike Epps would make this movie hilarious.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, because Mike talking the little, you know, the ornaments little, and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
You
know, look at little buddy over there with little pants on and everything and all that. Got the little shorts in there. Yeah. He going.
But because it's Eddie, the expectations are so high that, like, we're always destined to be disappointed. That's my take.
And here's the thing, bro. I love the breakdown. Mm-hmm. I love the boxing analogy. I love the Mayweather situation, and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it. When I first saw that he was doing another movie, I was like, oh, shit, a Christmas movie? Yeah. I love Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I love Eddie Murphy. I was like, yeah, for sure. And there was a couple scenes where he gave me a couple little side jokes that was funny. Okay, that was witty. That's that's Eddie-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. He's exhibition Eddie. He's no knockouts. Mm-hmm. It's just to see him on screen.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I'm giving back. I'm all right, let me do a Christmas movie
for the kids.
For the kids.
Mm-hmm.
daddy daycare, grown all over. His kids are older now.
Yeah.
It was cool, but you could have put this it was so much other stuff going on in the film that we didn't get enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not at all. And he's such a big character. He's such an extreme personality that I would have wanted to see more. Like you said, I'm just basically just piggybacking on what you said. Had Mike Epps been in this movie,
it would have been different.
He's still Mike Epps. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy, we haven't seen him be Eddie in a while.
Yeah.
And maybe because he's older. Because the Eddie that we know was young, flashy, fly.
Edgy. Yeah.
And edgy, you know what I'm saying? So movies like Boomerang could work super good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to see, because I think they're coming out with Beverly Hills Cop 4.
And it's going to be like this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in the same ballpark.
Yeah, like I think.
I think it's no longer. Go ahead.
Hopefully he can cuss. It might not be.
That's what I was saying. I'm thinking Eddie's reaching that point in his career where it's not even valuable for him to go that route anymore. Like when you're the young edgy guy, that's good for you. But when you get older, it's you're more likely to get safer. And like while I was watching this movie, I felt like Eddie, it felt like he was handcuffed to the script. So like he was delivering jokes, but they weren't his jokes. And that's when I looked and see who the writer was. And like the funniest Eddie Murphy movies, like he's usually credited as a writer. He's not credited as a writer in this movie. So it's just the one guy that's credited as a writer that's a white guy writing for a black family.
Yeah.
And a lot
writing
of
writing for Eddie Murphy.
Writing for Eddie Murphy. And like a lot of these jokes, I remember like I didn't laugh out loud at any point in this movie.
But
there was a couple of times where you go,
yeah.
Because like, you want to.
Yeah.
Like, that was witty, you know. And I felt I did that the whole movie. I never got that Eddie Murphy, because like he's done family stuff like Shrek before. And he was hilarious in Shrek.
Shrek is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is missing that element.
Because I mean, so why does Mayweather continue to fight?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you guys.
Why? Oh, because he still has it. He still, I mean,
but ultimately,
you're saying, I mean, he doesn't have to. I mean, right, money wise, he's
he does
good.
It for the money.
He does it for the money.
He does it for the money,
and I think he just enjoys training. And now he trains probably 2-3 times a day. I mean, a week. So he still wants to. I can still make money, and I can still get out in the ring and compete.
Yeah,
it's still kind of fun for him. It's almost like doing pickup basketball or playing in the Big Three when you played 13 years in the league. You still play basketball in the Big Three because you still want to hoop.
I think Eddie does this for the check.
Exactly.
You think he needs the check though?
I think he wants the check.
Yeah. I think he wants to check. That might be true. He can do it for the bread.
Mm-hmm. And he's legacy building. He's got kids,
grandkids.
You know what I mean? Like,
And what else you going to do?
He's got a big family.
What else you going to do? Like, when you still young, he's a young old dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he still looks good, Pauls. And I feel like he's like, why not spend 3 months doing this movie real quick?
It's why I wish they would give this movie to somebody hungrier.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
Right?
Here's the thing.
Because Eddie, the last movie I saw him do that I felt like he was working was Dolomite Is My Name.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like he was, you could tell he was cooking.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? These last couple of movies, it's kind of like, he just never gets it out of second. Mm-hmm. Like, he was, like, witty in this movie, but he was just kind of like at one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you said, just attached to the lines. Mm-hmm. And not to say that, like, that's bad, but again, we are used to Muhammad Ali, Eddie.
Loose.
And so and we keep showing up, like, you know, because it's Eddie freaking Murphy. So that's, you know, and so that hangs over this entire movie. Like, it hangs over it. Like, even in, like, Norbit, he's working.
He was working in Norbit.
He's working in Norbit. Like, you can say what you want about the movie and whether it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that you cannot doubt is that Eddie Murphy was working.
He was working, right?
Yeah.
Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
Them characters, he's working.
I love Eddie. This is not a knock to Eddie, but he's not working in this movie.
Yeah.
Nah. Like you know, this is.
I will say this is
walk in the park for Eddie.
Walk in the park. You could interchange and his character, his personality, his performance in this movie wasn't life changing to the point where you can't replace him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston could have played the parents of three white kids.
Yep.
And depending on if Vince Vaughn is he Vince Vaughn or is he exhibition Vince Vaughn?
Yeah,
you know, it depends on how much work he's going to do in this film. It's a very family oriented film. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why it's so safe. Maybe that's why he plays it super to the script, because I can see families, all the things with the special effects, the animals running around, mm-hmm. people falling and being drowning in milk. All those are funny gags that yeah. kids would laugh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. slapstick stuff.
You know what I'm saying? You sit, yep. you sit here on you're in your living room, hugged up with your wife and your two kids, and your dog is over there playing with a toy, and you mm-hmm. guys are watching this movie. So I understand mm-hmm. why it was being made. And if that's the case, it's a good film. I think it's super silly. Yeah. Right. Jillian Bell plays right. Pepper. She's super crazy. She's the
she
the
did play villain. That role.
Yeah. She played it well.
She played it well.
Yeah.
She
so it well. The little trinkets, the little toy people, mm-hmm. they were funny.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I see why it worked. But when you watch the Eddie Murphy film, you're expecting the funny didn't come from him. The funny came from everything around him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like the gags, mm-hmm. the fall downs, the slapstick was yep. what made this movie funny to probably most families.
Yeah.
But for Eddie, it's like, oh, Eddie got another banger. Nah.
Yeah.
It's not another banger for Eddie. Mm-hmm. It's a Christmas film, and I think it did a good job with that. Even when David Alan Grier popped up, uh-huh. I'm thinking we about to get some.
Yeah.
Give me some David and Eddie.
Some back and forth.
Give me
yeah.
none of that.
Yeah.
It was like, damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like the script was made like way
Pimp,
before.
Pimp Santa.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, right. Pimp Santa.
I feel like the script was made way before the cast.
Mm-hmm. I think
you know
so
how
too.
Someone you it write was... a film and you mm-hmm. be like, okay, I got Eddie Murphy involved in place of this. I got him in mind when I'm writing Chris
mm-hmm.
Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I think Chris Carver could have easily been Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It felt like the race was interchangeable. Yeah. Like
right.
you said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it definitely, so even though, once again, the blockbuster conversation we have all the time, mm-hmm. where we ask ourselves, is this a blockbuster? And I always say, because it's Eddie,
mm-hmm.
Eddie is It's a yeah. black family,
okay.
but it didn't feel like a black script.
Yeah,
it feels like a black
right.
family is the lead in this film, but there were things that they're almost like the token black family yeah. on the block.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Nothing, or in the movie, the token black people
yeah.
in the film.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse than like a culturally agnostic movie. Mm-hmm. Like masquerading as a black film,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. like this is a studio film mm-hmm. that, like you said, just happens to be cast with black people,
mm-hmm.
but every single one of these characters is interchangeable.
Yeah.
Like every single one.
Let me say, this is even more reason why I say what I say about it being a black, a studio movie with black, with a black family. What the hell is DC Young Fly doing in this film, bro?
Hey, yeah. that shit made no
what
sense to me.
What the hell is DC Young Fly? Shout out to DC.
Yeah,
you know doing it. Get your
check.
Bread.
Yeah.
Get your bread and get your exposure, you know what I'm saying? And in your quest to become mm-hmm. crossover, I would think that he would want to be. I mean, everybody would want to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's so black culture.
Yeah.
He helps make it a blockbuster. Yeah. I would say that.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we did not need him at all. I don't think his character shined. I don't think the character Josh, the news
Josh,
anchor
yeah.
guy,
mm-hmm. it didn't make sense the way he was written in.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
It was like
things.
There's nobody in the this
Who
world.
DC Young Fly.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. To
this
me.
World, this movie in El Segundo, the Candy Cane Lane. This movie, he doesn't exist in that world.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The black people that we have in this film are not his black people.
Yeah,
not his type of black person.
And he you know was related saying? To the news anchor lady. He was
yeah,
like, why
there's
just...
no way they're related, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
kind of like Moneyball, which is just like a studio exec was like, now we need somebody mm-hmm. really black. Right? Like, you know, what this movie is missing.
Who could we do? Who could we
do? Jay like, Farrow. And cool, but blacker than him.
Yeah. Not black enough.
And some white guy was like, DC Young Fly would be perfect. And
who's
it was
that?
Like,
who's that?
Who's
DC Young Fly?
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. Let's get him.
Let's get him.
Let's get him, right? Like, you know, because yeah. again, like, he served, like it's odd because he either serves a purpose to introduce the coon factor to the film,
mm-hmm.
right? Not saying that DC was cooning. I'm not,
right.
I'm not yeah, saying that. Saying. But, like it's just almost kind of like this shit needs we need a dash of black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, real black.
Yeah. And let's put him in here and let's let him cook. But like, let's let them, what up, TT? And you know what I mean? And like, you know, and do all of those things so it feels culturally familiar to us. But It's caricature to everybody else.
Right.
Right? Like it's unnecessary.
And the reason that wasn't operating is because there was no black writers in the writing room, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. I don't there yeah. might have been one, but I don't feel like they should have sprinkled that into the writing room
yeah.
so that the culture would have showed up in the script. Because there were so many moments that just didn't make sense at all to me. Like I didn't understand why Nick was bad at math. Like and then like they tried
terrible
to,
at math.
It's just really bad. Yeah. And they tried to like redeem him towards the end of the movie. Like it was like, but if you're great at music, you should have been able to do this the whole time. It just didn't like I don't know. It just seemed like he was typecasted as the dumb black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It was kind of irritating.
But I didn't even think that. I thought this dumb kid, he's mm-hmm. Bud Bundy. You know what I'm saying? In a sense, he just wants to do music. Bud wasn't smart. You know what I'm saying? Well, Kelly was dumb. So Bud, huh? I mean, correction, not Bud. I mean, mm-hmm. Kelly Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the airhead that doesn't know anything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, it doesn't make sense for the daughter. She's probably efficient and everything, ran track, wants to go to Notre Dame. And mm-hmm. I get that little angle. You know what I'm saying? They want her to go to USC. That's typical of your parents.
That makes sense.
That's our alma mater. We want you to do that too. But like him being bad at math, but he keeps talking about music.
Mm-hmm.
And like he plays the tuba.
And you don't know how to count four bars, bro?
And like, you can't, And you make your own beats, you produce all that, but you're not good at math? Come on.
It didn't make sense.
And then what about the time you mentioned earlier? Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier where they're at the track meet and the teacher shows up on the bleachers, the math teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets up and runs off and does what?
Yeah, he goes to play music in the
he goes to go produce a song.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And his mother's so not interested. Like it's like a black suburban mother's gonna slap the taste out your mouth. She found out you've been lying about mm-hmm. failing math. And that's where it's like that's when I knew a white writer wrote it. I was like, there's no way.
And he's in the band, he plays the tuba, and he keeps harping about music and they're not on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, bro, you're failing it. Math. He's failing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wish you would talk to me about. I'm gonna do music.
You gonna play the tuba of all instruments?
I'm out. You ain't playing. You ain't playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
You coming home and you in your room every day, and you studying. You need a tutor. Let's get you that.
Yeah,
right.
But you know what I'm saying. So it was. I feel like this movie was supposed to be a Christmas feel good movie at the mm-hmm. end, but if you watch a lot of like the studio films,
mm-hmm.
the kids are always kind of like. Leave me alone, mom. Stomp up mm-hmm. the stairs, slam the door. Mm-hmm. These kids weren't that,
mm-hmm.
but like they were with him specifically.
Yeah.
He's bad at math. He's not a good student, and they don't know that he's failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's like that's about, like how bad of a parent are you that you don't know that your kid is failing? Because mm-hmm. you don't go from an A or B to just an F. You get progress reports and all that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like before, I got an F. I got an F in math. Mm-hmm. I got a D in math in high school. Well, at one time, it was a progress report, but I literally wasn't good at math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was terrible at math.
Mm-hmm.
I had straight A's and then a C in math.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had straight A's, then a D in math.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. and then my pops was like, nah, you might be bad, and this might be a struggle for you. Yeah. But you can't be that bad to where you're not working hard enough. You got to work, because school was easy for me, but math.
You weren't applying yourself,
right?
Yeah.
Huh?
You weren't applying yourself in that area. Yeah.
I wasn't going hard enough. I was applying myself. Mm-hmm. I was studying. I just couldn't get the shit. Honestly, I'm terrible, man. Mm-hmm. Right? But I wasn't trying hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't study hard enough. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And my pops wouldn't allow me to do that. Now, of course, this is a movie, and we got to have what's his thing? What's Nick's? His thing is he plays the tuba and he's bad at math. Mm-hmm. I get it, but like mm-hmm. I wish they would have wrote it better to where it kind of made sense. Mm-hmm.
So this is what's interesting. And I hearken, and this calls into question our positioning as reviewers.
Okay.
Right? So Chris Rock, like, did an interview a couple of years ago where he talks about, like, the integration of baseball mm-hmm. in the major league. And he says, baseball doesn't truly become equal until the mid to late 70s where you start having bad black baseball players. Right? Like, you know, that's when it truly becomes equal. Because before that, you had, you know, Jackie Robinson. You had these guys that were incredible.
Satchel Paige.
But, like, true inequality was just the ability to just be average.
And be in the league.
To just be a thing. And so I'm looking at this movie, and I'm going, because we get so few movies, am I being too harsh with this movie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's been a ton of white versions of this that exists that we don't lean on the way that, like, I feel inclined to lean onto this movie, because we just don't get that many just regular candy cane lane ass movies, right? And again, a part of it is because Eddie is in it, so it already there's already an expectation there. But like you said, like, it's just an okay movie. It wasn't shot poorly.
It was shot well.
The script is, like, if you could write that script coming out of college, they would say you got a career. Because the script is decent enough. The candy cane lane feels forced. Because why are we having a parade just on this street? Like, you can see the limited budget. Like, it was only like two families like sitting outside.
right.
Like, it wasn't like a parade, like, you know. But overall, like, it's not even really like fun.
But see, that's the thing too, because I don't think the writing was that great. Like, I think it seemed I won't say elementary, but it seemed like you said, if you wrote that coming out of college, they'd be like, you had a future. But there was parts in that movie that confused me, like when Eddie got turned into the ornament or whatever that was, because she's skip the clock ahead. Like, couldn't that same logic, couldn't they just jump up there, pull it back, and he's back?
Right. Like, could we get an extra 30 minutes?
Yeah, we can just do whatever we want.
Yeah, and
there's certain parts of that movie that just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like him leaving and going to make a beat.
Yeah.
I'm still on that. When the teacher came and he was like, where's Nick
making a beat?
Where's Nick at? We don't know. Oh, that makes sense. And he goes into like the music room and he starts playing the tuba, recording his tuba, making the beat. So you're that absent-minded as a kid, and maybe you are, because kids are stupid, teenagers, right?
Yeah.
But really, I think parents have stupid teenagers.
Maybe he was like, listen, man, I'm failing math. My parents know I'm failing math. But let me play them this hot shit.
No,
like, once they hear this, it's gonna be okay.
I'm saying,
imagine like a scenario where it was just like you're failing math, but you go like, I know, but then like it's this painting you've been working on. And you play pretty back out, and the family's like, you're a
we get why you're failing math. Genius. It's okay,
we get it.
But if you're painting shit like that, like, you don't need math. Like, maybe that's what he was going for.
No,
it's
nigga.
Just like,
yeah, that's never happened in the history of black families.
I'm about to get found out, right? I've been lying to my family, telling them I'm working hard in math, and my teacher's finally going to tell them that I'm failing. So let me sneak off and just run off and let me go produce some music.
That's what
I should be doing after my parents are going to find out I'm failing math.
Yeah, and it was very anticlimactic. Like, when he came to talk to his mom, like, there was no, she was just like, okay, yeah. And she kind of just brushed him off. He's like, oh, okay. But he's in the back playing music. It looked like he went back there strictly to do the montage so we could see Eddie chase the people around the with the spears. Like, why y'all dressed like Prince? That one made me chuckle. And like, he's chasing like them. But like, it wasn't a logical move to do.
Yeah.
And then the milkmaid was there spraying with milk. And then you cut back to his scene and the whole room is full of he's drowning in milk, and like Dame said, that's a gang of milk for one cow. So it's like, now I know it's a movie, it's supposed
to be magical.
Maybe it's a magical movie, magical milk or magical cows, but it's a lot of things that just kind of just happen. Like, even with the whole things where he has to get 5 rings, to win, but now it's 40.
Yeah.
Now maybe I'm not. Maybe according to the song, if you paid it, they kind of made it seem like you didn't listen, you didn't read the fine print, or you didn't listen to how the song really goes, because it's really 40 rings, not 5.
That's not like that part was like that wasn't the next logical step in a story.
Yeah,
to be like, oh, it's been 5 rings, but now, based upon the number of times that you repeat, it's 40.
Speaking of such, it's actually just 38.
Yeah.
Oh, but
we got 2 rings.
39.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
But to answer your question, yes, we are being too hard. There's a lot of. I think that if Brother Hudlin didn't direct this film, I think this movie. I could be wrong, but maybe I don't even think that Eddie Murphy does this film if Reggie Hudlin isn't there.
I don't think so either. But I think part of the reason why we're judging it so harsh is because they went and recruited such good talent that they put the bar up so much higher.
Yeah.
And this movie is important for black families during the holiday season, mm-hmm. right? It's like you talk to anybody with kids,
mm-hmm.
black families with kids, they watch this movie over the weekend.
For sure.
Yeah. Right?
For sure.
And so that part is very necessary because I never had a movie like Candy Cane Lane growing up.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Right? Ah. There was nothing like that. I got A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? You know,
it's I got
Home Alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
right.
Loved it.
Yeah, but ooh, like all of the black stupid. Holiday movies that we got were family dramas. Right? Like, yes. You know,
heavy, traumatic trauma.
Trauma.
Yeah.
You know, who's leaving who's sleeping with who. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So even if it just serves a purpose as a way to galvanize a family for, you know, a holiday season, there are going to be a lot of black families that are going to watch Candy Cane Lane on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, and everybody's going to watch. So to that end, it certainly serves its purpose.
I agree.
I'm happy the movie was made.
Yes.
Now, like, how great it is, you know.
Did you watch it with your kids?
I didn't watch it with my kids, mm-hmm. but I am going to watch it with my kids.
Okay.
Right? I was really disappointed that you give Black Santa no power.
Yeah.
Like he shows up to do basically
on such a dope ass sleigh.
On a flyer sleigh, yeah.
And he shows up to do nothing. Right? Like he doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. he basically is like, oh, you signed the shit.
Yeah. He's basically a glorified Uber driver because he's just taking them all home.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You that's hilarious.
So
you didn't even like
why have that big epic Santa moment?
Mm-hmm.
You missed the opportunity to have Santa fix everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. But you got Santa showing up who basically was just like, I can't even fucking help you.
Yeah.
Brother. What's the point? What are you here for, bro?
Yeah. What are you here for?
Yeah. You did nothing.
That type of thing.
Just so to confirm that the bad guy is right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. So, yeah, the script wasn't that good. It was too long, too. I think that it was too long for it. Was unnecessarily 20-something minutes longer than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know the villain. I'm a villain person. I love the movie can be made or broken by the villain, mm-hmm. depending on how good of a villain he or she is. Cruella De Vil was a great villain.
Thanos.
You know what I'm saying? Thanos mm-hmm. is a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
Negan is a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cartoon. So it's not a cartoon, but it's like a cartoon. Pepper being the villain is like, she's not scary. She's not. There's a time when she came to the house mm-hmm. and was in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were hiding the little trinket, mm-hmm. and she couldn't find them and she left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so non-climactic. That was unnecessary to happen. I don't even know why that was probably a 7-minute scene, maybe longer. Not that long, but that's a scene that didn't have to
when
happen.
When Pepper was driving, like that's when I was just like, she got a car. Like, does she have an apartment? You know what I mean? She's supposed to be, you know, a celestial mm-hmm. being. She doesn't have a car.
She shows up.
Yeah. Exactly. She just appears. She's magical. So the fact that they gave her a Mini Cooper, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you know,
yeah.
and she could be gone on her lunch break was just kind of like, come on, man.
Yeah. I agree with you when you said it was for it's for families, and I would want to see. I would go to my sister's house and watch my nieces watch. I would watch this movie again just to see how the family reacts to this. I watched it by myself, and I was like, I promise you, I kept thinking like, okay, it's Eddie Murphy. I love Tracy Ellis Ross. I think they do great. She's a great sitcom
Tracy Ellis
wife.
Ross
she's a great
was the
wife.
Best actress in it, though.
She's whole best film. Part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best part of the movie.
Super easily. Dope.
I did like the black commentator.
She was actually, I thought she was the funniest.
She was super over the top.
Yeah.
But she was, but yeah.
See, and that's the point. Give these roles to somebody like her.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's like, she was like, I am not wasting.
She's cooking.
Any scene.
Woo, woo.
Anytime you put me on camera, I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, those are the type of people that I'd love to see get more opportunities because those are the type of people that are going to do the extra things that help make these movies
more
special.
More special.
And more legendary.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I
give
agree
it to
with
hungry
that.
Actors.
Yeah. I agree with that. And Eddie Murphy is for sure Exhibition Eddie right now.
Exhibition Eddie.
I want to see Eddie in some, at this point, bro, you older in age, bro, you Eddie Murphy, you're already a legend in this world of comedy. Mm-hmm. You the guy. Give me a mystery. Just stretch yourself as an actor.
Switch it out.
Even unless someone doesn't want to cast you as that, but try, you got
he to. He can get cast as anything.
You can get casted. Like, work at it. Work. Yeah. Do like a suspense thriller, or do like a He's doing a Beverly Hills Cop again. I'm cool with that. I want to see if that's going to give us a little bit of Axel Foley.
I saw him in Mr. Church.
I didn't see that yet.
Was it Mr. Church?
I didn't see Mr. Church. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's fantastic in Mr. Church.
So we got to do that.
But it's like he plays, like it's a drama. Mm-hmm. Right, like it's a drama, and the character that he plays is interesting. Now it's a little bit of like Black Savior, you know what I mean? Like you know, the white girl with the problems, and the mystical black man kind of comes and fixes it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's really good at it. Okay, right?
we'll have to black bust that down.
And the thing about that is that like, imagine how difficult it might be for Eddie to get motivated.
There you go.
Yeah. Right, you know what I mean? Like you've done everything. You know, like you've done everything, you've been everything, you've done action, you've done comedy, you've done period pieces. Like, what role can't, like, that's why the Beverly Hills Cop 4
doesn't make sense at this point.
Because, like, what's Axel gonna do?
You know what I mean? That we haven't seen him do already.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I think in that particular movie, like, unless, like, it's awesome, and I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
It's going to be like it was this. It's going to be a bunch of people surrounding Axel, right? And he'll give a couple of lines, and he'll get some Axel Foley-ism, and then the credits will roll.
Yeah, but it's not gonna shine a candle to the original. Like there's takes in there where you can see the guys in the back, like like holding in their laughter because Eddie was going for it. Like he was hungry back then.
Yeah.
Like I used to look up Eddie Murphy bloopers and stuff back at they put it at the end of the movies usually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at the end of this one, it looked like a lot of you had to be there moments. Like it was just not a lot of his personality shining through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. We need Eddie Murphy raw back. We need Boomerang Raw, Eddie Murphy.
That's hard, man.
We need Quick from Harlem Nights back. We need that guy. So it's hard, but
who's that? Like, who is that
good I'm going for to that cast role? Eddie Murphy in. You said what?
Who, just in general, has been that good for that long?
Oh, comedians?
I'm talking about,
Because Denzel is these equalizers. Yeah. He's damn near 70, and these are killer.
He's still, yeah. So,
you know what I'm saying? Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is still going.
And Tom Hanks, I can see Tom.
What about like an Eddie contemporary? Okay. Right? Like, you know, like Jim Carrey.
Well, right? Jim Carrey disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For his own reasons. Mm-hmm. But if Jim Carrey played Chris Carver,
it would have been.
Is he Exhibition Jim? Or is he going to give us.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Truman Show Jim. Or give us Me, Myself, and Irene Jim. Or Dumb and Dumber.
That's, you know I mean, mm-hmm. and it's interesting to be this age and to watch our superstars, not necessarily age, because this isn't about like age, but it's just to like watch our superstars take it easy.
Right.
Right. You know, and that's kind of like, that's what Eddie's doing here. Kind of taking it easy.
That's why I appreciate Denzel for doing Equalizer.
Yeah.
At 70.
Still trying. He's doing Gladiator 2.
You know what I'm saying? Huh?
You know Denzel's in Gladiator 2? Does it make a sequel to Gladiator?
The Russell Crowe?
Yeah. Yeah. Gladiator 2.
Is Russell Crowe in it?
He's, so from what
I read. He died.
Yeah, I mean, but from what I read, like he's going to be like a celestial type thing. But a lot of the characters from the original are going to be there, and apparently Denzel
they got
is
him
playing
doing,
like an epic gladiator.
I love it. I'm cool with that because I feel like if you think about, he wasn't even doing Equalizer at 35. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was still doing Mo' Better Blues and Jungle Fever. But like he was doing like other movies that he wasn't. He's the John Wick.
Yeah.
He's doing John Wick stuff now. He's
doing John Wick stuff now.
In his 60s.
He's
in his 70s.
Yeah.
So when coming back to Eddie Murphy, challenge yourself, brother. I want to see you do, not necessarily Equalizer, but like he's a strong actor. He's better than
that. I would love to see him step out of that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I would love to see him. See, like to me, Eddie is at his best when he is doing black caricature work.
Mm-hmm.
Like in life, like, you know, just turn it on and just let them be niggerish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let them become a character because he's so good at that. Like when I bust up, like from like an Eddie clip now is when he's doing a voice. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like giving me that type of stuff. Yep. Let him cook in that way. But one of you said it earlier. It's just like, but that's so risky for him.
Yeah.
Like I said, he can do whatever it is that he wants, but it's almost kind of like, but he's like, I just imagine it's hard to motivate him. What I don't like is that like, this, like, I believe this is a contract with Amazon.
I was just about to say, he got to be under contract.
So he's got to do like four more of these.
Because you saying he is risky. Like, it ain't risky for Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson, he's motherfucker, fuck you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's doing cooking. Marvel. He's not necessarily cussing that big, but he's still getting shot at and getting blown up. He's older than Eddie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So even with Denzel is like literally ripping dudes' heads off.
Mm-hmm.
In movies now.
We're in a space now, too, with this PC culture how funny can he be? Because Eddie was real edgy back in the day.
But he's so funny. He's so funny that he didn't have to be there. He can still be very, very Eddie and not piss people off.
I think Eddie is cancel proof.
I think
Eddie is canceled.
Because we just said it earlier. And shout out to Eddie Murphy. And shout out to Reggie Hudlin. The movie is a great family film. However, you put Mike Epps as Chris Carver, you're going to still get Mike Epps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to still get Mike Epps, all his Mike Epps-isms and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't get that from Eddie. Enough of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, if you put Kevin Hart in this movie, it's the same product. Right?
Ooh.
You're
like,
I see that.
Like, if instead of Eddie Murphy...
You want to be a little funnier?
No. Because I think Kevin... I think they both suffer from the same... I don't...
Jumanji is funnier than this. That's why I said that.
But
Jack Black did carry
Jumanji. Like, Jumanji is a greater concept.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is if you look at just a Kevin Hart comedy
this film is a script.
Because Kevin doesn't go for it that much, right? Like, I think, like our superstars kind of get to the point where they all become exhibition Floyd. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think Kevin Hart as an actor is at his exhibition.
He's too
level.
Young to be that.
Yeah.
Kevin, you too young to be exhibition.
But Kev. I mean, but like, but when have you seen Kevin pull something new out of his bag?
The movie he did with Wesley. True Lies. That was good, bro.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I get what but that was a whole different genre, though.
Yeah.
The Last Man in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that.
That's good. Kevin Hart has stepped out of his box. I would like to see Eddie do the same thing because it seems like he's handcuffed to comedy. Like, he's always doing comedy. Let's see dramatic Eddie. Like, there's a scene in Meet the Clumps where he's sitting there and he's got that sad face where he just realized that like it's the love of his life and coming for him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sitting there and you see that sadness in his face. Like, oh, you could be a real good dramatic actor.
He could do it.
He could do that, but he's always doing the comedies. And like, after a certain point, like with the Kevin Hart stuff, you start to expect like what you're going to get. So when you go in there and the bar is too high for like, so like when we watch Kevin Hart, we want to see Funny Little Man. We want to see, you know, like Laugh at My Pain, Put the Fire on Them Bitches, all that type of stuff. So we're not going to get that anymore. So that's when it's time to shift gears and go towards something more dramatic, which I think Kevin Hart did
it. Shake it up, man.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do some awards. Who's the MVP of Candy Cane?
Most valuable player.
The most valuable player.
That's Tracy.
Yeah. The MVP?
Is it Tracy or is it, what's baby girl name? The daughter, the oldest daughter.
The one to play Holly?
Holly?
Yeah.
The oldest daughter or the youngest daughter?
The oldest daughter.
Joy.
Joy Carver.
I think I'm with you.
Yeah, you got to make a case for that. I don't see
it. Yeah, he said you got to make a case for that. And there's no real case. She shined the most with the track meet scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when she was telling her family, like, I don't want to go to USC. I want to live my own life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of teaching them a lesson on, like, you can't be too overbearing. You can't let your children, which I think is super unfair for parents to be like, we went to USC. That was your choice.
Yeah.
That was where you wanted to go. You were excited to go there. And even if they say, our parents went to USC, their parents went to USC, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's still a choice. I wouldn't, as much as I would love for my children to go to my college, if they said, I want to go to somewhere else, they can go to our rival, which is Stanford.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna tease him about it. I'm gonna mess with him about it, but it's, I don't really care.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. At least I don't have kids yet, so I don't know. Maybe I will care, but not to the point where I'm upset with you for not wanting to go to my college.
Yeah,
like yeah.
I think it's Tracy Ellis Ross because I think she's the best actress in this movie.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I think her character is most believable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think she handles everything well,
even with the teacher.
Yeah, I mean, like
the script though.
Yeah, like that part is just the environment that she's in, right? Like, you know, but like I like the way she handled things, like at the plant. I like the way she handled Chris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? I like the way she handled the neighbors. I wanted to talk about
that Chris thing. Like, I feel like Eddie owed Chris a fade the entire movie, and then like it's cute when the order is hitting on your wife, and when he came to and he kept that same energy, it was time to fade him up. Like I just saved your life, and you trying to get my wife?
Because he was putting. He was shooting his shot.
Yeah,
He was
applying pressure.
Horny ass little dog.
Yeah,
and check this out, fam.
Yeah,
snatch him up, yoke him up,
like stomp on it.
That was unacceptable to me.
Yeah,
Lamplighter Gary.
Who's the LVP?
Okay, so Tracy Ellis Ross, I rock with it.
Yeah,
yeah,
LVP.
That's a tough one.
What's his name?
Nick. You want to play Nick?
The son?
The son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, DC Young Fly.
Oh, LVP. Yeah.
He could not be in the family movie at all. And and it's not even DC Young Fly because I think he's talented. I would cast him in so many other projects, just not this one.
Yeah.
And if you take him out of the movie
does not change.
Yeah, you could all the lines that he got, you could have gave back to the black chick that was on TV. Mm-hmm. You could have gave her all the lines.
She could have been there live. Yeah,
yes,
she would have bodied it. Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying he didn't shine for me. He wasn't memorable. But this wasn't his film. His film. If I'm him, I'm taking the job too, though.
Oh yeah,
as an actor, I'm definitely taking the job. So shout out to him. But it just wasn't. You know. Yeah.
I feel like. The LVP for me, like I want to say like Black Santa, like I want to say David Alan Grier.
Really?
Because you brought him in and didn't give him anything to really do. Like, you know, he didn't cook. And it's such a big moment. Like when Santa shows up in a Christmas movie, this is supposed to be the big deal. And he shows up with hella special effects, and it's Santa.
The sleigh was crazy.
Yeah, it was dope.
and this was a kind of like complete letdown. So it's just like it's LVP. Like it harkens back to like my days of watching WWE. You guys used to watch wrestling,
No, I watched WWF.
WWE,
I wasn't interested no more.
So imagine like the glass breaking. Oh shit, Stone Cold is here. And he sprints down to the ring and stands there, right? And doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
Yeah.
Doesn't drink a beer. Doesn't flick anybody off.
What?
But just kind of like leans in the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, when Santa shows up in the holiday movie and it's Black Santa at that, and you give me nothing.
No one-liners, nothing.
Is he
least valuable than DC Young Fly's character, Josh?
I mean, at least, like, I understand, as ill-advised as it may be, I understand what he's doing there, right? Like, and I understand what DC Fly is trying to do. I didn't find it funny, but I understand. Right?
I feel like they forced that character.
It was hella forced.
You gotta have a Santa, whether he has lines or not, but you gotta have a Santa.
If I was directing it, I would not, I don't think we need to do that for laughs.
Right.
Right? But I understand what's happening. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I understand why they do it. But for me, when Santa shows up in the Christmas movie, the splash is supposed to be bigger than what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, the splash was so small for such a thing in a movie like this, right? To me, it's just a big miss. And it is such a big miss.
I feel like it's
the worst miss of the movie.
Okay. I agree with that. The worst miss. I think the least valuable player is your boy, Brother Josh. But when I saw David get off the sleigh, I was like, oh shit, Dave mm-hmm. Allen Greer. I was surprised and I was happy to see him. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of his acting. I think he's super dope, and I need to see him more.
Yeah.
Now, but he didn't give me nothing. So it was a miss for me. Yeah, I get it.
It's not a knock on his acting as much as it's still a knock on the writing.
The script,
The script, it had nothing to do with anything. But I felt like the one that was Nick Offerman, I feel like mm-hmm. Santa's supposed to teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Offerman had the moment with Holly where he was teaching her life lessons. I feel like they should have found a way to make Santa do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Because they made Nick more important than Santa.
To me, that's why Black Santa is the biggest miss of the movie. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
I agree.
Because, like, if Santa doesn't show up, the movie is exactly the same. It's exactly the same.
How did they get away from the city, though? From the neighborhood?
It didn't even matter.
No sleigh, there's no movie.
It doesn't even matter.
Like you use Peppermint's car for
you put pentatonics and the other fools.
They could have just vanished.
They could have turned into Christmas dust or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He serves no purpose. He's Santa. Like the Stone Cold.
Yeah, the script.
You know what I mean?
The script wasn't
on Santa, and you could tell from the little bit that they gave him, he was ready to cook.
Mm-hmm.
He had his red suit on.
He had his beard, his cap.
Like, you know, just give him something to work on. And then have him give our villain, to your point, our villain don't even get no due.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the punishment that we get at the end is whack.
So whack,
right? Yeah. So it's just like so Santa's supposed to come in, Black Santa supposed to punish the shit out of Pepper,
mm-hmm.
make everything right, deliver the Christmas message. God bless us, everyone. I'm out, Black Santa out. Yeah. Right,
And what's up with the money not being $100,000, but $100,000 worth tacos. Of tacos?
That was crazy.
I was like,
yeah. Yeah,
that was crazy.
What's the point of him losing his job? Oh, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let me. What's the old boy name?
I know who you're talking about.
Oh man, dang,
Trevante.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's the LVP, bro.
Trevante's LVP.
Yeah. Come on. And he was so stiff. He was terrible.
Yeah.
His one scene, I said, bro.
Who was Trevante?
He was the boss.
The firing guy.
He fired.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. That was so unnecessary. Yeah. She could have just been there by herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't have to be there at all.
Yeah. Another big fail. Sorry, Dame. I know this isn't going the way you had hoped. but how come the store don't disappear?
I'm thinking at the end, like Eddie got his justice, but he owns the store now.
Under the freeway.
Yeah. This magical store that didn't exist now is there. What's it doing in July? They selling fireworks? Like, what happens?
Yeah.
Yes.
What kind of magic he's selling? Right? Like,
it don't make sense.
I feel like when there's big budget films like that and they just have people like, hey, man, so what you got in the pipeline? Well, I got this movie, a Christmas movie with Candy Cane Lane. We're going to get, it's a black family's movie this year.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the lead? You got to get a star, Eddie Murphy. Oh, well, who's the wife? Tracy Ellis Ross. Okay, cool. What about the Trevante Rhodes is his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what is he doing in the movie?
Yeah, he need a check.
I feel like his character, and DC, what are they doing? These are the two black guys that don't exist in this world.
Yeah.
He was such a cool-ass, smooth-ass Marcus Graham from Boomerang the guy that fired Eddie Murphy's character. That was terrible.
This is, okay, and then we'll go to the final awards. This is what makes this movie difficult. And again, because of who it has in it, like the white version of this movie, you will scroll past it on Netflix and Prime and Hulu and not even give it a second
thought.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's almost kind of like I can't even compare this movie to its contemporaries because I ain't even watching its contemporaries. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know if this is par for the course. This is how they all are. And I watch a lot of kid shit because I have kids.
Yeah, right.
But because of who you put in it and who it casts, we're going to watch a movie that, like, is not for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not made for us. But because of who's in it,
mm-hmm.
we got to watch it. Even as, like, I would much rather show my kids Home Alone
Oh yeah.
Than this, right?
Right.
But what I'm going to do, there's a new movie on Disney Plus with Luda. That's a holiday movie. It's Luda and what's our guy from Get Out? The comedian. Kalua?
Larell.
Yeah, Larell. Larell and Luda have a holiday movie on Disney Plus.
Is that now?
It's out now.
I'm gonna go check it out.
I'm gonna give that a watch and then.
Well, yeah.
Dashing through the snow.
Yeah. Okay. So as it comes to Fist, Five Fists All Time Classic, one being a movie that was made. Gentlemen, how do you rank Candy Cane Land?
Okay, one being the best.
Five being the all time classic.
And one being it was made. Mm-hmm. It was cool. You good job for making a film.
Mm-hmm. We'll give it a 1.5.
Okay. Five Fists. Ja, how do you land?
I'm gonna give it a 2.
Okay.
Two point for me. But for family, this might be a 3. A strong 3.
For family.
But for a family, because it's almost like for guys, you just want big machine guns and things blowing up and chicks running around down the street with their shirt ripped and stuff like that. That's for the men. Dope. Right, so the movie, the Expendables, those are never good scripts, but they're all kind of action. It's great action, so people love those films. It's a shoot 'em up, bang bang film. This is a Christmas for kids, laughing, joke. When you see ducks flap through the milk and all that, it's a kids family film. Mm-hmm. 3 for me, it's a 2.
This is difficult for me because I want to give this movie one black fist, but I don't want to disrespect Eddie. Nor do I want to disrespect Tracy Ellis Ross. Nor do I want to disrespect the fact that this movie was made, because I want more movies to get made this, right? Like, you
not
know,
like this, but more.
But
like
just
this,
I just want more at bats.
Yeah,
you
know, more swings.
Like I want more at bats. Mm-hmm. I want, you know, but and this kind of goes back to, you know, what we've been saying before. The thing that throws us off is that normally I would say, you need a black director. You know what I mean? That's why this movie doesn't quite hit. We have one of the best black directors. We have one of our favorite black directors.
True, very true.
I think it's a 2. I'm giving it a 2 because I think it's important for young black kids to grow up with holiday movies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, there may be, you know, a kid 7 years from now that, like, their family tradition is going to be watching Candy Cane Lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that's important.
I agree.
So it doesn't rise to the level of a 3. 2. It's adequate. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Well, I don't think I'm not trying to knock. When I give it a 1.5, I'm not knocking the acting. The acting was incredible. Yeah, I really looked like they were talking to little imaginary beings. Like I really believed them when they were talking to these characters.
Right. Execution was great.
The script was good.
It brings it down so low.
The script made it so unbelievable. It made it unbearable at times because like there were just
things. It was so ridiculous. Now, even like, for example, what's that movie that's super ridiculous with Vince Vaughn? The world's coming to an end. That movie
this is the end.
Yeah, stupid.
This is the end.
But it's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's funny as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're working.
Like Art in the Museum. This reminds me of Art in the Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Night at the Museum. It's that type of film. But like the script wasn't this.
But again, you know, what's funny is that Night at the Museum is not exhibition Ben Stiller. He was trying to establish himself as a leading man.
And he did.
Mm. I think like to bring it back full circle, when you watch Mayweather fight Marukawa Yawa, you know what I mean? Like, you know, in Qatar, what do you really expect?
Right.
Right? True. Like, you know,
Exhibition
Eddie. So just, you know. We still gonna show up because it's Eddie.
It's Eddie,
but it's Exhibition.
Tracy Ellis Ross, Reggie Hellen. I'm gonna watch any movie that Reggie Hellen does. I'm going to watch.
If they put the same cast out on another movie next year, I'd still watch it again.
Facts.
Yeah,
the cast wasn't the problem.
Yeah, the cast was not the problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, man.
Bah humbug.
Hey, we breaking these movies down, man. And
we still love you, Reggie.
Respectfully. Yeah. Oh yeah,
no, absolutely.
The movie. Probably wouldn't have been as good. It wouldn't have been this good if it wasn't for him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he did the best with what he had.
Yeah, and he's still going to work.
Of course. That's it, y'all. We love y'all. Tune in next time. Let us know. Watch the movie, though. Please go watch the film. It's definitely worth a watch. Mm-hmm. Go watch the film and let us know what you think in the comments. You know what I'm saying? Candy Cane Lane, Reggie Hedlund, Tracy Ellis Ross, Eddie Murphy. Get involved. Be good or be good at it. I'm your host, Big Jai, along with my co-host.
Five Golden Tones.
Five Golden Tones. Yeah, five. Brother Roger Blacksmith.
Come back. We're going to come back.
Definitely.
For what you brought for even this film.
Yes.
I'm excited. We got to get a little, bit more.
We're bringing you back, yo, Roger.
Yeah, we got to get some more on your plate. We got to, let you.
So a movie that, yes.
Made some gourmet hot dogs.
I love your take.
You know what I mean?
We're going to
give some steak.
Yes.
Give some ingredients.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you have on the next film I bring you back for, bro. We're going to bring you back. And we thank you for your perspective, bro. It was dope. It made sense, too. We love it, bro. Thank you for coming, bro.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. I'm going to call you. Definitely going to have you back sooner than later.
For sure. Anytime, man.
Yes, sir. Man, that's our show, man, this week. Catch us next time, man. Merry Christmas to y'all. And let us know what y'all hear, what y'all think about in the comments. And we'll see you next time, man. Be good or be good at it. Pew. To the max.
Blackbusters. What's up, world? It's your boy, Big Court, from the Holding Court Podcast. If you're a fan of authentic interviews with legendary artists and notable people in the culture, subscribe to the Holding Court Podcast. See, we a show that cover artist interviews, hip-hop culture, lifestyle, and current topics. We got the D-Boys and the B-Boys. See, ACP is where the streets and black excellence meet, and is brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.